What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, she is here, our host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show from RE/MAX Results and the Red Hot Real Estate Groups, Miss Mimi Shoneman. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi, I'm glad to see you. Also very glad to see our good friend from Cross Country Mortgage, Mr. Phil Olson. Hey there, Phil.
Yo.
I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad that I would love for you to give your NMLS number out to everybody out there.
NMLS 238103, company NMLS 3029. We're an equal housing lender.
Oh, I'm so glad, Mimi, that you got to talk over the last few episodes about how everything looks so cute out there because it was spring and we got through the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Because if you're listening to us in the Midwest, we are finally weathering here. So I hope everybody got all their photos out of the way before we get a couple of days of actual weather here in the Twin Cities and the Midwest in general.
And cover up those little crocuses popping their little heads up.
I need to look up and see what's going on with my tree. I don't think my tree liked the back and forth of the weather, though. Spring, not spring.
No.
Yeah, I was looking at it yesterday going, ooh, you look...
I think our plants and trees are all going to have very weird year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say. Mm-hmm.
That's what my tree in my front yard looks a little peaked.
And I love that word, peaked.
Yeah, and that is very descriptive of what my tree seems to be doing right now. So I'm like, I need to call an arborist and go, can I do anything about this?
We need an arborist to come on the show.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an arborist, please contact us.
Yes, please. Do you want them to text you? We could text arborist to 651-578-2218. Yes. 651-578-2218. If you're an arborist, if your cousin's an arborist, if your nephew's an arborist, come
Let's
and do
this.
That.
Yes,
because
we
have questions. We have questions.
Yes.
So what's going on out there, Mimi?
You know what? So I just want to just let everybody know that might not follow you as much as some of us do, that you had a birthday this week.
I did.
Yes, thank you
very much.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. It was a good time. I appreciate that.
She was working like a pro on her birthday.
I was. I had a show. It was very, and which people think is silly, but I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, man. If I was going to throw a party, now y'all knew where I was. So it's just, you can come and hang out with us at the show. But thank you very much. It was a good birthday.
Yes.
Got some good presents from my sister and my son and my family. I'm having a good time.
Yeah,
so thank you very much.
Very
nice.
Wonderful.
Appreciate you.
Well, so we want to honor you by any of our callers this week that call. We want to make a donation on your behalf to the Autism Society
of Minnesota. Thank you. That would be great.
And we're going to make a donation of $100, no matter if anybody calls or not, but Phil will cry if you don't call and talk to us
today.
Thank you.
I'm a cry because you are doing that. Thank you very much, Mimi. That means a lot to me. They are,
now you're doing $100 per caller?
Nope. We're going to do $25 per caller.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to make $100 no matter what.
Mimi, thank you so much. That means a lot. So we do encourage everybody to please be a part of the show. The number is 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071. And I am so grateful for you, Mimi. Thank you very much. We're going to make a donation for everyone who calls in with their mortgage and housing related question today.
Yes.
We're going to do a donation of $25 to the Autism Society of Minnesota. They're coming up on like their 52nd year of doing great work supporting our community here in Minnesota. So thank you very much for that, Mimi.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll have the Autism Society on come someday.
Would love to do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we just want to give you a quick very, very quick snapshot of what's going on in the market. For the week ending of March 9th, we got some numbers for you that haven't really deviated very much.
Okay.
We are median sales price here in the metro, according to the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors, at $358. That's up about 4.6%. Our days on market are 59. And that's how you measure that is from the time that you list your house till the time that you close. So that's up. That's actually down a little bit. And our original list price that our sellers are getting is 97.5. So we are definitely down from the peak because we were up 101 and some change. And our month supply of inventory, folks. Any guesses?
1.8.
Yes.
2.3.
1.8 it is.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey. I only guessed that because she said it hadn't changed much.
You know? Oh, okay.
And I remembered, that's all.
She's good at multiple choice.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
So that is our snapshot.
I was thinking optimistic.
Yes.
I wanted more inventory.
I would like us to be optimistic as well. I wish we could.
Yes. Nationwide, inventory is up. We are just kind of staying a little bit flat.
But West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah.
We're seeing those numbers go up.
Mm. Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. Lots of states where people are flooding to and flooding mm-hmm. from.
Yep.
But that's for a different
or
day.
Or receiving flooding.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And insurance.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's a whole show right there.
Well, it is if you can find an insurance broker that wants to come on the show. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yes. insurance is getting crazy out there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Phil, any updates for you on the mortgage side?
Right now, we're waiting for the unemployment rate to come out, BLS report. I'm really hoping... I know it sounds like a negative to see the unemployment rate go up because that will basically show that what the Federal Reserve is trying to do by, you know, reducing the amount of money that's being spent. But then, you know, the federal government just passed a $1.2 trillion bill
yes.
for the year. So, I mean... Right now, we're sitting at, I think, around 2.6, 2.7% inflation, and the Fed is targeted 2%, and I really think it's going to be very difficult for them to hit that 2%
okay.
until we can get our utility costs down. And
okay.
what I'm talking about is gasoline, diesel, you know, because that all affects how much we pay for food at the grocery store.
Everything affects that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Phil. So we are going to do part two of our divorce show.
Yep.
Last week, if you didn't have a chance to listen, was part one on everything that you need to ask about divorce and mortgage in real estate. And so I do want to talk about one thing that we kind of left off at the end of last show, and that was how stability of income might play an effect in whether somebody can purchase a property while they're in the middle of a separation or a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, you want to speak to that?
Well, I would tell you stability of income is one of your big categories in the mortgage industry. Understand, when we look at your income, we're just not looking at it today.
Okay.
We're going to look at it. What was it 2 years ago? What was it a year ago? And the key word that we don't want to hear is declining.
Okay.
Declining income for especially a self-employed borrower. We don't see it with a W-2 salaried wage earner.
Okay.
Normally. Where we see declining income, though, is an hourly wage worker.
Yes.
All right. And the biggest key is how much is it declining? And if it's declining too much, there's a possibility that no income can be used. Literally, we'll use a two-year average, one-year average, year-to-date average, and we're looking to see what are the trends of that income. And if it's flat, that's a good thing. If it's increasing, it's a good thing. But if it's declining, I'm not going to tell you it can't be used.
Because how much of a decline did you say was too big of a decline?
When you're dealing with a self-employed borrower,
yes.
I would tell you anything more than 35% declining
okay.
can be a
That was
real,
better than I thought you were going to say. Because I was thinking you were going to
say. Bad thing.
Yeah, if
that's
you had
a
said,
lot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot.
If you had told, I was worried that you're going to say something like, if you go down 5% or if you fluctuate, something like that.
No.
So 35, and that's significant.
Here's what I'm going to say about declining income. Is it really comes down to how does that specific loan officer package that loan?
Okay.
Now, if it was me, I'm going to ask lots of questions. Why was it declining? Are you a seasonal worker? Is your overtime more in the summer, end of the year? What was the reasons for the declining income? It could have been maternity.
Mm-hmm.
That's explainable. In what's called a letter of explanation. And for that loan officer that doesn't package that loan correctly, your job as a mortgage loan officer is to position your borrower ethically,
yes,
legally, all right, without breaking the law, but to present the facts.
Right.
And that's where I think people in my industry may end up telling a consumer they don't qualify.
Okay.
When in real reality, they probably do.
Because they need to know the background information because it may Correct. Be totally reasonable.
So in a divorce situation, that could be a deal killer.
Okay. So when we come back, we're going to talk about can you qualify for a first-time home buyer loan if you're in the middle of a divorce?
We're also open to taking your calls. You can get your voice into the room if you call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Financial Health and Wealth Sark. Wait, wrong show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show, everybody. I am Ms. Shannon. I am joined by my good friend Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Groups and Remax Results. Also with us, our friend from Cross Country Mortgage, Mr. Phil Olson. Mimi was kind enough on my behalf to say if you call in with a question today and any of your mortgage and housing related questions, you can call us at 651-641-1071. Again, that's 651-641-1071. And my good friend Mimi Shoneman over there from the Red Hot Real Estate Group has offered to donate $25 to the Autism Society of Minnesota on your behalf and my behalf, courtesy of my birthday that was last week. So, again, that number is 651-641-1071.
You guys have no idea what I go through during these breaks.
We're workshopping something.
Yes.
That's all.
All right.
What do you mean go through? I gave you some suggestions.
I'm talking about this one.
Oh, Phil. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just upset because we started talking about undergarments and now you know too much about our friend. That's all.
Way more than I have known you for 10 years or more. In like a blip of a minute.
But it was a very chaste, wholesome conversation.
It wasn't
a Chippendales conversation at all.
It wasn't a Chippendales at all.
It was a very practical conversation.
I know. Yeah. Okay. TMI.
Yeah, you make it sound like we tortured you. We were just talking about practicality.
I
appreciated the information, Phil, as the mother.
She's going to need psychological help
exactly.
after the show.
No. Phil, I'm going to tell you without her. I
don't want to know anymore.
No, normally, I'm just going to tell you this. Normally, I side with Mimi when it's the three of us. I'm going to side with you this time because you actually validated some information. As the single mom of a teenage boy, to be able to have a conversation with a grown man who also is raising boys about adulting underwear and all this stuff was appropriate and very valuable to me.
I'm glad it helped you. Yeah. I'm so happy and it's all about you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Yes, so we learned something in the break.
Yes, we
sure
did.
If anybody wants to know, you can text underwear to Mimi Shoneman.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, don't text me underwear.
Don't do that.
No, if you want to know this question, I guess I will answer it if you text me.
But rather, don't do that because then she'd be like, Shannon, we're no longer friends.
Oh my
Look
gosh.
What you did to me.
I'm going to refer them to you, Miss Shannon.
Yes,
we're just digging a hole here.
Exactly. But if you do actually, as I said, for real, if you have a question about anything to do with our housing situation here in the Twin Cities or mortgages, please do call us, though, at 651-641-1071.
You know, I'm getting people inquiring about lake properties already.
Oh, already?
Yes.
You know what? That's because they started thinking about today and they're like, I would like to be someplace else.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes. Lake properties or going to Florida, ocean properties.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know that we can help you find a realtor no matter where you're looking in the world? Not just in the USA, but in the world.
That's awesome.
Yes. So if you are looking or hoping to look, or dreaming about someplace else, I don't blame you. Text me where you want to go, 651-578-2218, and we can connect you with a really great realtor that can help you wherever that happens to be. You know what? So I was just curious, how much properties go for in Portugal?
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
And so I went to our connection on RE/MAX Global, and I was looking at Portugal properties because, you know, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not cheap, but, you know, nothing is anymore, right? But it's good to know. And also, I was looking in Greece, how much properties are. Did you happen to look at properties when you were in Greece, Phil?
Yes. And they're beyond crazy expensive.
Well, it depends on what island you go to.
Depends what island, if you're on the mainland or if you're on an island.
Yeah. Well, it depends on, too, what your definition of expensive is, but that's another show. All right, Phil, we're talking about the 15 common divorce real estate and mortgage questions that we get as professionals in this industry. And so one of the things I think, let's start with the definition of a first-time home buyer, Phil.
Definition of a first-time home buyer is simple. You've never owned a home, or you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years, or potentially if you went through a divorce on a first-term property and you didn't get the property in the divorce, you might still be considered a first-time homebuyer.
Okay, so let's kind of unravel that. So let's just say that your divorce decree is done. Your divorce is final.
Yep.
One party got the house through the divorce decree, yep. And one person is now renting, and they would love to buy. And it, let's just say that it happens to be 6 months from the divorce finalization.
Mm-hmm.
That person has not applied for a loan for 4 years.
Yep.
What does that look like for them?
Well, if they haven't been on a mortgage or owned a home. Now, what's owning a home? Guess what? If you file taxes together jointly and you put your name on that tax return, even though you're not on a mortgage, even though you're not on a note, you could have lost, and I use the words could, have lost your first-time home buyer opportunity. And that's on a case-by-case basis that I would have to call around.
Okay.
To determine, are you a first-time home buyer? Because under some programs, it might be considered you lost your first-time home buyer opportunity.
But that's not the end of the world if you've lost that particular classification.
No. I mean, losing that classification, you could still qualify for an FHA loan, which is still considered like a first-time home buyer program. You can still get qualified for as little as 3% down. All right. And are there still down payment assistance programs out there? Especially if you went through a divorce, a lot of your down payment assistance programs, as long as you didn't get the home in the divorce decree, you still might qualify for down payment assistance.
Okay. So let's talk about what I think is a really important discussion to have before you get divorced. Is, should you buy a home? Is it smart? Is it a wise move to buy a home when you're in the middle of your divorce? From your perspective, Phil, when somebody walks into your office, Ms. Shannon's in the middle. She's leaving somebody.
I would tell you it's on a case-by-case basis. It really depends on how emotional is this situation, okay? Are there children involved? Are there mega assets involved? Are there mega properties involved? The more complicated it gets, and if one party or the other is wanting to receive child support or alimony to help them qualify for their next mortgage. Now, if it's a simple divorce, two people, been married 2 years, no children, all right, I would tell you, understand Minnesota law, one to buy, two to sell. If you buy a house while you're still married, you could be separated. You're still married, mm-hmm. Okay? You are potentially opening yourself to negative ramifications.
Gotcha. Yes.
All right, folks. We would love to take your questions because we're fundraising for Miss Shannon's birthday, and we're talking about the 15 things that are common in divorce for mortgage and real estate. We'd love to take your questions.
As we mentioned, we'd also appreciate getting your voice into the room. That number is 651-641-1071. Again, 651-641-1071. Also reminding you, you can text all of your mortgage-related questions to our good friend Mimi over over there at 651-578-2218. That's 651-578-2218. And again, we're going to come back. Also, encouraging you to be part of the show at mytalk1071.com. Keyword, red hot. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show, everyone. I am Ms. Shannon. That is Mimi Shoneman from RE/MAX Results and the Red Hot Real Estate Group. Over there, that's Phil Olson from Cross Country Mortgage. Hopefully you know who you are, and we encourage you to be part of the show. You could call us at 651-641-1071. Again, that's 651-641-1071. My friend Mimi, on behalf of my birthday that happened last week, has graciously agreed to give $25 to the Autism Society of Minnesota for every caller that calls in today with a mortgage or real estate related question. So we do get to the go to the phone now, Mimi and Phil. So Charles, thank you very much for your patience. What is your question for Mimi and Phil?
Hi, Phil and Mimi and Miss Shannon. How you doing? Long time listener.
We're doing great.
First thing is, I am paying for the last year and a half, I've been paying the mortgage on the house that's in my mother's name.
Okay.
Okay, and she moved to a senior living facility first because she got tired of going up and down the stairs because it's a three-level home.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, okay, as far as taxes goes or anything goes, and I know I can't get any, like, work done because they always say, well, you're not the homeowner because ..
So Charles, I'm not clear yet what your question is. Can you just restate it for us?
Okay, for tax purposes,
yeah,
of any sort, what can I do? Because now I pay the mortgage, but it's in my mother's name.
Okay.
Buy your mother's house.
Yes, my mother's house, and I've been in this house since I was six.
So you'd have to buy it from her. You're saying, Phil?
Buy
is what you're
it
saying?
From her. Okay. So that way title is in your name and the mortgage is in your name. All right.
Okay.
And I mean, is this property in a trust?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
And I told her to get a lawyer to get that stuff done.
So, do you have a power of attorney?
That I don't know if she does or not. I think she has one, but okay. I'm not sure what's going on there.
So, Charles, before, you know, I think that, you know, we need to refer you to some good partners here. I think, do you have a good financial planner that you work with, you or your mother?
Miss Shannon.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll make sure that producer Ellie gets your information so I can give you somebody that has a certification. So, yes, that makes sense.
So
thank you for that answer, Charles.
So, Charles.
Just so you guys know, I'm 55.
Okay.
Okay, and that's just it. And it's like I said, it's just the stuff is up in the air. In 2022, I lost my dad and my oldest sister.
Mm-hmm.
23, I lost my adopted brother. And it's like, and only this stuff has been coming to a fruition that, okay, we need to get something done and we need to get stuff on paper and legally.
I think so. Yeah. Charles, you know what? I think there's a lot of things that could be moving pieces with that. First of all, the first thing that came to my mind is whether your mom in an assisted living facility is taking advantage of medical assistance. If so, there could be a lien on your property or on her property. And so you need to find out all of those sorts of things before you can actually even consider purchasing, in my opinion.
So is that something that you can help run for?
What we can do is we can talk with you further and find out a little bit more about the situation and figure out which professionals you could take advantage of speaking with.
Mm-hmm.
And several different things pops into mind, an estate attorney for starters and a financial planner for sure. So if you can leave your information with our producer, we'll reach out to you this week for sure, Charles.
All right, I can do that.
Okay. That's
because I've just been after, like I said, after the losses and after me and my mom was going through stuff and almost the Wells Fargo almost foreclosing. It's like, whoa, we gotta get some stuff settled. We gotta get stuff straightened here.
Yeah, you know what?
We can't have this stuff all up in the air.
You're right in that zone where, you know, it's a very, very difficult time when you're having to care for your elder parents. And there's a lot of moving pieces when you're going through that. So we totally hear you. We'll get back with you this week. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. Thank
okay.
you.
And thanks, thank Charles.
Thanks
and
for
so
the call.
There's $25 for Miss Shannon's birthday.
Thank you very much. Charles. Thanks, Charles.
That was a great question.
Yeah, because that's a lot of what you cover, Mimi, is that there's all these layers. And it's where do you start?
You know, it's like if your parent is in an assisted living and they're not, you know, super wealthy, there's a very high probability that, you know, they could be getting medical assistance from the county and the mm-hmm. county would then put a lien on the property, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great question.
Okay. We appreciate you calling. I know that right now producer Ellie is talking to somebody else. We'll have them online in the meantime. But go ahead and go on to the next step that you'd like to do while our producer is talking to them.
All right, Phil. So one of the questions that I think we get is about dividing assets and liabilities when people are getting divorced. So when somebody comes into your office and they're thinking about should they, can they divide assets and liabilities, how does that go into play with regard to mortgage?
Well, I mean, it's the divorce decree is like the Bible.
Okay.
Okay. So let me give you an example. In the divorce decree, and I'm going to use Jack and Jill mm-hmm. as an example. And Jack and Jill have a mortgage and they're both on the mortgage. They're both on the note. But in the divorce decree, Jack gets the house.
Okay.
Jack is responsible now for the mortgage. So is Jill responsible now for Jack's mortgage? No, we can now wash out that mortgage payment, even though on the credit report, it says that this is a joint transaction and that Jill is responsible for the mortgage. The divorce decree basically makes it to where Jill no longer has that liability. But let's take a look at a different liability. Let's say they don't divide the assets equally or they don't refinance the vehicle, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't refinance the vehicle that's in both of their names. Now, in that situation, there's a possibility that other party is going to have to prove that the other party is making the car payments in order to wash that out.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ifs and buts. I mean, in a divorce, normally everything is divided equally. The question is what are you dividing?
Okay.
And if you divide it incorrectly, it could actually come back and bite you as a buyer down the road.
Okay. So we're going to get back to that because I have a follow-up question, but I do want to make sure that we go to the phone. So thank you very much for calling. Again, that number is 651-641-1071. Deborah, thank you for your question. What's your question today for Phil and Mimi?
I don't have a question. I have some information to share that hopefully will save people some money and some time. You do not need an attorney to set up a trust or to do a will or power of attorney. My husband, myself, and my mother-in-law, we did them, all of us did them, for about $25 and then $10 each to have them notarized.
Fair enough. There's,
mm-hmm. There are programs out there that are boilerplate forms, and then there's also just forms online, and it's pretty much bulletproof. It walks you through all of the legal jargon and then inserting names where you need to insert names.
Thank you, Deborah. I really appreciate you calling with that, and I appreciate that information. Because we know there are some people who are like, hey, I'm good at the DIY, and then there's some people like me that are like, no, I need to talk to a person. So thank you very much, Deborah. Yeah. That's great information.
Thank you.
All right, Phil. Thank you, Deborah. So we actually have a question, another segment, next segment, we'll be talking about professionals. But you were finishing up on the assets.
Yeah. Assets is pretty simple. Okay. I mean, during the course of the divorce decree, both parties will be setting up their own personal bank accounts.
Right.
Taking their names off of joint accounts and moving that money over. And whatever the divorce decree says, so let me give you an example. Jack and Jill again.
Yes.
Jill receives now 50% of Jack's retirement account.
Okay.
That was through the divorce decree. Can that be used as an asset or a reserve? Yes.
Okay.
It can.
So you're saying that could be used for what you've talked about in the past for an asset depletion program or not?
Sure.
Okay.
But that asset that's been split is going to have to be in Jill's name.
Already in her name.
Once it's in her name physically.
Okay.
Just because the divorce decree says that these pieces are going to happen doesn't mean they've all happened. They exactly. might be in the process of happening.
So she can't count it till it's
can't
actually
count
happened.
It until it's in her name.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. And is there like a waiting period for mortgage that needs? So let's say it happens today.
Yep.
Do you need to wait any particular time?
If the divorce decree says that Jack has the home
mm-hmm.
and Jill is still on the mortgage, per the divorce decree, we can wash out or remove that mortgage in her name and don't have to count it towards her debt to income ratios.
Okay. Just repeat that, please.
Yes.
So if in the divorce decree, Jack gets the house, he becomes responsible for the house. He becomes responsible for the mortgage. Now, in a perfect scenario, Jack should, now once the divorce is finalized, they can do what's called a quit claim deed.
Yes.
They can remove Jill off title. But the only way to get Jill off that specific mortgage would be
a refinance.
Yes. Perfect.
Okay. So when we come back from the break, we want to let everybody know that you can also call in with any of your questions. We're fundraising for Miss Shannon's birthday, but we're going to be talking about should you hire a professional to represent you when we come back.
Right. And that number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. I am Ms. Shannon with my good friend Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and Remax Results. Our friend from Cross Country Mortgage, Phil Olson, is with us as well, and we would love for you to be part of the show. That number is 651-641-1071. Again, 651-641-1071. So glad that you had also agreed to shout out the Autism Society of Minnesota, an organization in town that is near and dear to my heart. So, Mimi, can we please just unspool something real quick with Phil for something? Because we've talked about this before.
So, you know, I think, folks, we want to make sure that you understand that there's some risk there if you don't refinance.
Right.
If you just go and you do a quit claim deed and you've got a lot of vulnerability in that aspect, because if anything happens to the other party where they lose their job, or they don't make the payments, or they forget and they go to the Bahamas.
Yes.
Or if it's late, all of this is still going to affect your credit because you are still on the mortgage. Phil?
Absolutely. And I cannot tell you the number of times over all the years I've been doing this where I get a client that or a prospect that calls me, and when I walk them through their credit report, they go, oh my.
Right.
Gosh.
Because when you said it before, and I was going to, and I didn't, when you said, well, it takes you off of the liability, not the liability, when you said that it, let's go back. So when you were saying, hey, I can take it off so that you're not responsible for that from a debt perspective, if I wanted to buy another house, I was like, oh, does that mean that nobody else is going to call, this isn't going to come back to bite me? Because I thought we brought it up before.
To bite you.
So this is how.
This is how. If Jack doesn't, we've been using the Jack and Jill, and Jack gets the house, he's responsible for the house, but now Jack doesn't make the mortgage payment. And because it's a joint application, joint mortgage, because Jack starts not paying the mortgage, that's going to affect Jill's credit.
Yes.
And the worst delinquency you can have, the worst, is a mortgage delinquency.
Why is that? Just to ask.
Oh, I mean, it's the biggest liability. All right. And guess what? If the bureaus aren't going to hammer a borrower for missing the biggest payment.
Fair enough.
That's why you could literally see your score drop 30 to 50 points for every mortgage delinquency.
So and in
a span of 3 months, your score could drop 100 to 150 points.
So let's just talk about that for a second. So you're looking at somebody who's applied for a mortgage, and mm-hmm. on there you see a car payment and you see a mortgage payment.
Yep.
You see that they were late on both of those. Do those two different things have different point values?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So you're saying that the bureau weighs the house more than the car.
A delinquency on a student loan is not as bad as a delinquency on a credit card. A installment loan is worse than a revolving credit card.
Okay.
And the mortgage is the worst.
Okay. Okay.
Good to know. All right. So we've covered that. Now what we want to talk about is the professional. So we want to thank all of our callers, and we respect their opinion and everything. But I will have to say
that worked out for you.
Yes.
That's how it is. Like, that does not work out for everybody. Yes.
I will say, though, I think that more people are harmed by not hiring a professional. Someone who's got a lot of experience, more education. So forms online, yes, they can maybe serve a purpose. And if that is the best that can be done, then that's one thing. But I also do think that if you don't hire a professional, you are leaving yourself with loopholes that could have benefited you. So I personally, and I think I'll let Phil speak for himself, I think that if you are in the middle of a divorce, no matter how amicable, you should hire a professional, period. That's my opinion. And everybody is entitled to their own opinion. So, Phil, your opinion?
I'll back your opinion. I cannot tell you the number of times I've had clients call where they decided to do things on their own, and they created an absolute tangled mess.
Well, there is so easy to say, you know, Ms. Shannon, you and I, we're good today.
Yes.
We're so good today. But in 5 years, are we still going to be good, Ms. Shannon?
Right.
What happens if, you know, life changes and, you know, oh, shoot, I forgot to put that in there. And I should have probably had the foresight of thinking that through, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you pay professional attorneys to do, is to have the foresight into knowing what problems could happen in the future.
I'll be honest with you. When I got divorced a million years ago, my ex was like, we can just do this ourselves. I'm like, absolutely not. And I hired an attorney.
So. All right. So if you've got a complicated tax situation, do you do your taxes on your own, or do you hire a CPA to do it?
You should hire a CPA.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
All day. If I always say, if you can.
Right.
Some people might not be able to have the money right there, but, you know, think outside the box and try to find the money, because hopefully that person, the CPA, if they're good, if they're qualified, they can save you that exact amount that you would be paying them, and maybe more. And the same thing holds true with the attorney. Like, down the road, especially if children are involved or if real property is involved, you just can't, especially when you're in an highly emotional state. Think about all the things that could happen down the road. And I think that we've talked about that enough. Anything you'd like to conclude,
Phil? It's the professional, and I'll use myself for an example. I ask lots of questions.
Yes.
A lot of fact-finding questions. That accountant, that lawyer, that architect, whatever it happens to be, is going to ask a lot of fact-finding questions. And it's during the fact-finding stages that we as a professional learn, okay, what exactly are we working with?
Okay. Phil, so when someone comes into your office and they're having a consultation, this is our last question, I think, can they still get a mortgage if their credit score is affected by shared accounts and loans?
I would say it depends. I mean, what's happened to the credit score? If you've got a 1-by-30 delinquency, that means in the last 12 months, you missed a payment, but you caught it up. So the credit reports will show you 1-by-30. Yes, you can get a mortgage. If you have a 1-by-30 on a mortgage, can you get a mortgage? Yes. Once you hit a 2-by-30 on an installment loan or a mortgage, now you've created a mess.
Okay.
Okay. So let's just go back and redefine 1-by-30 and 2-by-30.
Okay. 2-by-30 means that you have been delinquent 30 days in a row. Now you missed the payment, then you made the payment, but you made it late, and then you made the payment again late.
Late. Okay.
A 1-by-6 or 2-by-60 or a 1-by-60 means you've now been delinquent for 60 days.
Fair enough.
And what's the 2 stand for? 2 months?
Yeah.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. So we're clear.
Okay.
All right. So, folks, we really want to thank everybody who called in today because
absolutely.
We were able to raise $150 for the Autism Society in honor of Ms. Shannon's birthday. And she's precious to us.
Thank you.
We thank you. And we also want to let everybody know if you're thinking about shopping for property or you'd like to get like scoop on a property that you saw in your neighborhood, you can do that by going to viewgreaterminneapolishomes.com. There you can look at property, you can schedule appointments to see property. You can make requests to get an evaluation on your own home. And again, that's viewgreaterminneapolishomes.com. If you'd like to ask any questions for real estate and mortgage, you can do that by texting 651-578-2218.
Right. And you can get this episode and previous episodes if you go to mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.
And you can reach me, Phil Olson, at 651-238-6748.
And also, we want to go to one more time remind them about all of the guides that you have available as well, Mimi.
Yes, you can request those guides also by texting 651-578-2218.
Thanks for listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show. We'll see you next time, folks.